Hey everybody, how you doing? Wake up! It's right after lunch. I like coming after lunch though, because I'm kind of a hyper person and I talk, you know, bright. So hopefully you guys will stay awake just based on that. Guys, having a good tech guide so far?
Yeah.
It's good to be back in New Orleans, right? Yeah. So last time I came to New Orleans was at TechEd, like in 2010, I guess it was. Have a great time. So today I'm going to talk to you about Visual Studio Light Switch and the new bits that we released in April for Visual Studio 2012 Update 2 around building HTML mobile clients with Light Switch. Okay. So I'm Beth Massey, by the way, and I work on the Light Switch team. So I think I have some good information for you guys. I work in Microsoft in Visual Studio. So who in this room has used Light Switch before? Okay, that's good because I'm going to show you, I'm not going to go over everything there is to build business apps with Light Switch. I'm going to kind of start with a data model already. But Light Switch has been around for like 2 years now. We released in, I think, July 2011. So who has never heard of Light Switch before? Okay, good. Only like one, two people. Okay. So then the rest have just not used it before. Is that correct? Okay, but you've heard of it. So I'm going to go over like what it is, what you can use it for, and kind of position it so you can think about it in the right way. And then I'll go into demonstrating how we can build some mobile clients. And we're going to deploy that to Azure. And at the end, hopefully this surface will be nice and we can watch the touch screen work. I think it works. So I'm going to do the presentation on my bigger laptop, though, here. Okay, so let's get started. So what is Light Switch? You can think of Light Switch as a rapid application development environment or set of designers inside of Visual Studio. Okay, it's really aimed at building data-based business productivity applications. So those applications that do a lot of CRUD, a lot of data, moving data in and out of data sources and showing them on screens and users interacting with data. The key is that all the plumbing for doing that is handled for you. So really what you're concentrating on is building the value of your application, the business logic, okay, of the app. Okay. So Light Switch kind of, it makes a set of technology decisions for you, so that you don't have to do all of the glue and plumbing yourself. Okay? It also provides a nice roadmap for the application as the number of users start increasing. Your scale may need to get bigger, right? You need to scale this thing. And you have a very flexible deployment options. Okay? So we'll talk about some of those deployment options too a little later. So you could technically, like, even though you're at the end of the day, you are building a logically n-tier application, a web application, you could technically deploy it even as a two-tier application. You could host it in your own IIS box. You could even deploy it to Azure. And so that's what we're going to do today, is we're going to deploy to Azure. We also added SharePoint support, so you can do on-premise or Office 365. You can publish your Light Switch applications and into SharePoint as well. And I'm going to talk about SharePoint tomorrow, so we're not going to go into SharePoint in this class. But tomorrow, if you're interested, it's a lot of fun. I put a quote here from one of the people in our community. Actually had a really, I think, concise one-liner about how I feel about Light Switch as well. Light Switch is simple on the outside, but it's very rich on the inside. And I'm not going to dig into all the APIs and all the stuff you can do with Light Switch today. I can only have an hour and 15 minutes. But just keep that in mind, all right? Even though it looks simple, it's actually a very rich application framework that you can utilize in these types of applications. Okay, so what are some of the types of applications that you would use Light Switch for? These are kind of its sweet spots, really. We went with the first version of the HTML client. We are targeting mobile touch-first devices. Okay, so think about your tablets, think about your phones. Those devices are really the key sweet spot of the HTML client right now. We've always been, since the first release, desktop business apps have been supported. Okay, these are more like your heavy-duty data entry. They've got a lot of grids and screens and fields and that kind of thing. It also supports, you know, legacy COM interop, that kind of stuff, if you need that. So that Light Switch also provides a client that does desktop apps. And then I mentioned the SharePoint thing. That's also new. Okay, so a sweet spot for Light Switch would be to provider host, to host your own Light Switch application, and then to deploy the manifest, basically deploy the app into SharePoint or on Office 365 so that you could also integrate with all of the SharePoint assets, all of the data that you may have as an enterprise inside of SharePoint, okay? So those are sort of the sweet areas, I think, sweet spots for Lightswitch. So if you have, if you think about a lot of these business productivity applications in an enterprise or even in any business, a lot of them are, you just don't have time to get to all of them, okay? You don't have time to build the time tracker or whatever the business may need. And sometimes, the business folks end up using the Office to kind of, Excel spreadsheets, and it's kind of a mess sometimes, and they would be really nice to have a custom business application. Lightswitch will help you build these types of applications extremely quickly, okay? All right, so here, we've been busy. I mentioned this is the third version. April 2013, the Visual Studio Update 2 was our third version, version 3. We first released in July 2011. We targeted, the in-browser, Silverlight in-browser and desktop apps. Okay, Azure Cloud Services have always been supported in Lightswitch. When Azure released the Azure websites, version 2, we took advantage of that. And we also pretty much gutted out the middle tier and replaced it with an OData stack. So you have an open data protocol when you're creating a data model, it's automatically exposed as OData services. Then version 3, it was, really the target of that release was the mobile client as well as the SharePoint integration. Now, because we have the HTML client, you're writing JavaScript, and I'll show you how we can customize in JavaScript. You're not writing a lot of JavaScript, but you can to customize it. So we wanted to make sure as the frameworks, jQuery, we're based on jQuery, and as jQuery and jQuery Mobile evolve, we don't want you to get stuck with Lightswitch and have it not move. So there's an opt-in just due to the NuGet package we released in May. Just 1 month later, we released a runtime update, okay, the client runtime update that you can opt in. Okay, so if you want to take advantage of some of the newer features in jQuery Mobile 1.3, you could opt in to take that, okay, that update. All right, so that's how we're going to update the HTML client so that we're never left behind. All right. Some of the key features of Update 2. If you have Visual Studio, please make sure you have installed Visual Studio Update 2. There's some key features like the HTML client. Really what we're doing with that is we're creating a single page applications, if you might have heard the SPA buzzword. We're really at the end of the day under the hood creating a single page app that also has a very responsive design, uses responsive design principles, let's put it that way. As the form factor of your browser increases or shrinks, we automatically adjust the layouts for you. Okay, so that's key. The mobile 1.3 support is there. I'm going to kind of go through this as we build the application. But if you're a lot of you said you were users of Lightswitch in version 2, the performance is increased in version 3. We reduced the payload size of the OData by using JSON Lite. Okay, that's OData implementation that we took. And then you might be happy that we support, globalization and multiple languages now. We used to only support one language at a time. Now we can support multiple languages with resource files and that kind of stuff. So some of the features we did do based on customer feedback. But a lot of this is going to be, I'm doing it tech ed. We're talking about the client, HTML client today, and I'll talk about the SharePoint tomorrow. So for those of you who have never even opened Lightswitch up at all, it is in Visual Studio. Who here is not running Visual Studio 2012? All right, one person. Sorry, dude, you need to get on Visual Studio 2012. Join the party. All right, so the rest of you in this room already have Lightswitch, already have it. Okay, so file new project, Lightswitch. Lightswitch is all about data. You start with data, okay? Lightswitch is unique in its sense that it can aggregate multiple data sources. You can actually virtually relate data sources together from anywhere, okay? Or you can create tables within Lightswitch itself. You can design the app and the schema there inside. Or you can do both. You can mix and match. But you have to start with data. So once you describe your data, you spend a lot of time describing data model. Modeling data is a skill. You're going to need to have that skill to use Lightswitch. Then you're going to start creating some screens over that data. Okay, so we have a set of screen templates that are starting points. You can customize them further, but there's a set of screens for common tasks like, you know, viewing and browsing things and adding records and updating things and that sort of thing. All right, so at that point, actually, you haven't written any code. You just described a data model. You have some screens. Technically, you could just run the application. All of the plumbing is done. The infrastructure of the app is done. You know, dirty checking, all of that stuff is done for you. You probably have like a very basic application going. That's what's fast about it. And you can iterate very quickly on your data model and the screens, because as you like remove fields or change their types inside of the database, the screens automatically update. So you're not, it's really just a way of fast prototyping, actually, in this sense. But I've never met a business app that didn't have some sort of business logic in it, so you're going to start to refine that, and so you are going to start to author the business logic. There are a lot of hooks inside of the data, of all the designers, actually, but when you're doing your data modeling, there's a lot of hooks in there for injecting code inside of the save and update pipelines, modifying the queries, doing authorization checks, security checks, roles, that kind of stuff. There's also a deeper, you can even go down deeper into the APIs to do all sorts of stuff. All right, so then we're going to start customizing the screens because users are never happy with, you know, just the plain vanilla stuff. So you can start customizing your screens, and then we're going to end up having to define some queries here and there because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of data that user doesn't want to see on their screen. So there's a screen designer, a data designer, and a query designer. Those are the three main designers in Lightswitch. At that point, after the end of refinement, you could deploy and be happy, but we always know that, you know, there's always going to be things that are not in the box that we don't support out of the box. So you need to go build yourself, or you need to go buy, or that kind of thing. There's a whole ecosystem of components from Lightswitch. You know, like I mentioned, it's been around for a couple years. There's over 100 extensions on the Visual Studio Gallery. You could just get that through the tools menu. And you can also build your own custom controls or integrate with custom data sources. So you can, there's hooks and extension points all over Lightswitch, from the back end, from the data services and data sources, all the way to the front end, the client custom controls and that kind of thing. Okay, so we didn't want you to hit a glass ceiling. So what are we building with Lightswitch? All right. At the end of the day, we're building an end-tier application where, you know, we decided to make these technology choices for you, but we wanted to make sure you were set on the right path. All of these technologies down at this lower end of the stack are what you would probably choose if you were going to build a business application from scratch. Okay, we're using, you know, IIS 7, we're hosting, you know, an ASP.NET. Okay, so it's just an ASP.NET app. Using WCF data services, it's a .NET in the middle tier. Okay, and on the client side, we have two choices of clients, a desktop client with Silverlight 5 and a mobile client with HTML5. So depending on which client you use, it's just a little, the design experience is very familiar, but you'll use, when you code things, you'll use either VBC Sharp in the .NET sense or JavaScript in the HTML5 sense. Then we have a set of, we basically abstract a lot of that away from you because we have a runtime, and that's the data workspace. In the middle tier, we have a data workspace and a submit and query pipeline. That's where you can hook in all of your code that you need to do, like to manipulate the data and do rules and that sort of thing. We also have the data workspace is what marshals all the data back and forth. So it's always like a set of data that's being transmitted back and forth over OData, but you don't have to manage all the dirty checking and that sort of thing. You don't have to manage any of the plumbing. Okay, so just know that you can get inside the data workspace, though, and do all sorts of stuff. Then you have your screens and methods and controls. So there's really like two. There's a rich middle tier runtime framework, and there's a rich, you know, client side framework as well. Data sources, it's kind of cool. You can like suck in any data source that supports Entity Framework, because we're just using Entity Framework underneath the covers. And then out of the box, we get SQL Server, SQL Azure, SharePoint. We support SharePoint 2010 or 2013 because it supports OData. And then you can connect to any other OData services. You can also author your own services if you want. Okay, you can author your own OData services. You can author your own RIA services. We also support that as data sources as well. So there's a lot of options for data sources. There's also a bunch that you can buy that are, or even some free ones, RSS Bus, Expert 360. These guys are making a lot of data sources for like Dynamics and all sorts of other things. The OData services that are automatically created for you really just are mapped directly into the data sources that you bring into your application. So what you can use LightSwitch to do is you can say, okay, I have multiple data sources, I want to relate those things together, but I want to write some business rules and authorization logic around all of that. And LightSwitch will automatically re-expose those smart services so that LightSwitch clients connect to these OData services, but you could then go ahead and create any other custom client that you wanted. Okay, so you guys, who's never heard of OData? Why does I keep going and talking about OData? Okay, so you guys are all familiar with OData. So it's just a standard way of bringing data across a wire, really. It's a RESTful data service. Okay, so you can build your own clients. There's SDKs for like Android and iOS, and you know, there's JavaScript. We're using DataJS in our JavaScript client. You could write your own if you want. WPF. Excel, actually, you just point Excel at one of these things, and Excel will work with OData as well. Okay, so that's the idea. You can go ahead, and there's a lot of flexibility on the client side to build your own thing if you need. The hosting options are, like I mentioned, very flexible deployment model. And so what you could do is, like, you could say, okay, we're going to deploy on-premise. Okay, that would mean you're hosting it in your own IIS box somewhere. Okay, and using SQL Server as your backend if you're creating the data through LightSwitch, it's SQL Server. And all versions of SQL Server are supported all the way back to 2005 and higher. And external data source types will be managed by you, okay? But the LightSwitch database itself would be SQL Server. If you're going to deploy to the cloud, it would be SQL Azure. Okay, SQL Azure, and you can run your your middle tier inside of the Azure websites or the cloud services. If you have, say, if LightSwitch is just a small piece of a larger application that you're already running in the cloud, you can deploy LightSwitch to a cloud service as well. I'll show you how to do a website. I think the websites fit really well if you just have a LightSwitch application you want to host. Now, when it comes to the HTML5 browsers, you know, HTML5 is a standard, but, you know, we are optimized for the iOS 5 and 6, Android 4, Windows RT, what else we got? Oh, Windows 8 phone. Okay, so those are our controls are optimized for those platforms. Okay, so let's see what we got here. Let's take a look at what we were thinking about when we were designing the HTML client. The reason why we kind of went towards HTML client instead of native client, because there's like basically I think kind of three, you could think of building mobile applications in three different ways. One is HTML5 and JavaScript, so that you can take advantage of the breadth of browsers, modern browsers out there on any device. The other option is you create a native client, so you write native clients for every one of those types of devices, operating systems. Or three, you have like a hybrid, right, where you kind of have maybe a shell that, you know, you put in the store for certain stores. It's just a small, lightweight shim of a shell, and then you're showing the content, and that's probably HTML5 through it. Okay, so when we look at enterprises today, and you heard this in the keynote, it's bring your own device, and how do we manage these devices? But it's not just about how to manage the devices, it's how do we get our applications on these devices? So you have a lot of choice on how you're going to do that. And the reason why we chose HTML5 is because that was more of the breadth of devices that you could build an application once and run it on a breadth of devices. Typically, business applications are just about data and screens, and so it makes a lot of sense for us to choose HTML5 and JavaScript for that, so that you have basically as the standards start to, you know, evolve and get better and better. We'll take you with us. Like I mentioned, we're releasing those updates to the client runtime as jQuery and jQuery Mobile evolve. Okay, so that's kind of why we took that approach. We think it's going to get better and better, and business applications are very, very standard on what they do normal time with data. So there's our supported platforms I mentioned. Okay, there are some limitations on the older operating systems here. Okay, just to keep note, the better your HTML5 support is on your browser, the better. All right, so I kind of like to get rid of like the slides, and that's it. You know, I'd like to go through all the slides, and now the rest of the time, I like to show you some fun stuff. So I'm going to start off with an application I mentioned that is already half built. Let's put it that way. It actually has one data source. It's got a schema. It's basically an application that's used by a moving company to schedule appointments, talk to customers on the phone. They take down, you know, their information, and then they need to schedule an actual move to happen. Now, this is, let's run this app. And I'll just show you kind of what it does. This is the desktop app. A lot of times we already have business applications, desktop applications, and we're just looking to extend them, and that's what we're gonna do, is we're gonna extend this application today. Okay, let me go. Okay, so this app is, okay, someone calls, you know, makes an appointment, so let's just create a new appointment here. We schedule a time, the person on the phone's like, what type of house do you have? Maybe it's a residence. It has some business logic for what type, maybe a template for how many rooms. The person would be able to like kind of explain what was going on, what their house kind of looked like. I'll just select a customer here. You would enter the customer details if you didn't have it. Then there's some business logic here on, there's a lot of subcontractors in this list, employees in this list, and it has some logic on who's the least busy. And so, you know, then the user can choose the least busy person. Because that's kind of the idea of this app. But what happens is when we go out in the field and we actually perform the move, we use subcontractors and we can't dictate what type of devices that they have on them. And so we want to be able to have like them take pictures, be able to do notes, anything that they need on site. We want them to be able to do that on any device that they have. Okay, so we're gonna, let's build that piece of the app. Okay, so the first thing we're gonna do, this is a version 2 application. Actually, I should also mention one other thing. This is a version 2 app. So I mentioned everything is OData. So as we modeled the data, these are the data services. This is the OData service that's running behind it. There's appointments. Okay, so if you're familiar with OData, this is all standard OData stuff. Okay, so I just kind of want to point that out because when we build the other client, it's going to use the same middle tier services. This is our middle tier, the application data. We have, and I mentioned there is some business logic in here. I have, like, here's the available employees. I'm just making sure that, you know, don't take somebody that's really busy. And I got a couple different, you know, queries. We're processing some queries here by the username and that kind of thing, showing them their own appointments. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to right-click on the project itself, and we're going to say add client, and I'm going to add an HTML client. And at this point, it's going to ask me, do you want to upgrade the app? Yes. So in Visual Studio 2012 Update 2, we don't force you to upgrade to version 3. You can stay in version 2 of LightSwitch, if this makes sense. Version 2 of LightSwitch, you can stay in that. This is just a report on, yeah, it's upgraded. Or you can make a conscious decision to upgrade to version 3. Okay, so now what we have, you'll notice a different node here, server and client. Now I have HTML client. So let's go ahead and add a screen. So this is our screen template. I'm going to start with a browse screen. I'm going to call it home. And I'm going to select the screen data. So what do I want to show? I just want to show the upcoming appointments for this, for the employee that's going to be logged in. Okay. Okay, and I'm just going to change this, you know, appointment to a roles layout. And I want to, let's just show them the start date and maybe the customer. Okay, let's, and we'll hit F5. Okay, so there's our list. This is a list of data. If you notice, when I start to shrink the size of the browser, you'll see that there, the margins get smaller, the title gets smaller, and you know the data adjusts. Okay, so on a phone it would look more like this, and here I'm in a big browser, it looks like this. Okay, so let's fix this up. What if I'm more on a tablet? You know, I'm not just a list. Okay, so what I want, I probably could do this, tile list. I actually prefer the tile list. So the tile list works so that it spreads out more in tiles, okay, so for a larger browser like this, but if I was on a phone, it would still go back to this list. Okay, this. So that's kind of like just different options you have for laying stuff out on a screen. And just keep in mind that it is doing this automatic adjustment for you, okay, so you can, you can put a lot of data on the screen. The other thing is that as you flip through the lists, if you have a lot of data, It will dynamically load in pages automatically for you. Okay, so you don't have to handle any of that for you. I only have 15 coming down here, but if I had more than 45, it would page. Okay, and you can set the size of the pages that you want. All right, that's great, but what we really want to do is take a look at what is that appointment? What's the information inside? So I'm going to add a tap event. Okay, so we have in the properties window here, we can take a look at the properties of the list itself. There's an action. Tap is none. So let's add an action. Okay, so I'm going to add an action to view the selected appointment. It knows that I need a new screen for that, so I say okay. I'm going to also add any related data. So when you're doing view and editing of data, it looks at the relationships inside of your data model, and it said, hey, I noticed you have photos and rooms related. Would you like to add them onto the screen as well? I'm like, yeah, sure, that sounds like a great idea. Okay, so I'm going to just make a couple adjustments here because, we don't need to show the employee on the screen because we're logged in, and this is my appointments. And I'm going to just put the state up here so it looks a little bit better. And then I'm going to add, now the customer, I'm going to add actually the customer's email and phone number. So we can add other screen data. We have customer phone. Let's do that. And their email. Okay, and these are business types. That's just a kind of an abstraction over the actual semantic type or the storage type inside of the database. They're both strings, but you can tell Lightswitch, hey, this is a phone number, this is an email, and it comes with validation and a control for free for you. Okay, so now let's go ahead and run this and kind of see what this looks like. Okay, so I'm going to go into somebody, and there now you see the view appointment, okay, and again, as we start to shrink down the size, you'll notice that now it's one column instead of two columns, okay? And then we have our children on these different tabs. I only have one room in this one, okay? Now, the same thing is like if I'm on a phone, you know, or on a mobile device browser, instead of opening link, it'll try and ask me if you want to make the call or email directly to this person. Okay, so it's using HTML5 attributes to tell this thing that, oh, that's an email, that's a phone. Okay, that's what a dialogue, let's look at what a dialogue and what some pop-ups, like some more interactive things that you can do on the screens. Okay, so I notice I haven't written any JavaScript code, but we actually have this is a single page application. It's not going all the way, it doesn't look like it's going all the way back in the browser. The browser URL isn't flipping around. Okay, so what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna show a couple different ways we can enhance the screens. Let's go back to our home screen. Because we want to start like interacting with data a little bit better. What I want to do is I want to add like the ability to like just filter this. So like say the guy is mover is like, oh, somebody just called me. Who is that? I need to look up my appointments. I have too many on my screen. Let's just do a filter. I want to filter out. So let's just add a filter. I'm going to edit the query, and I'm going to add a filter. And this is the query designer. I'm going to add a query to just search by the customer's last name contains a parameter. Add a new parameter, and I'm going to make it optional because I want to display them all at first, just optional. And then we're going to just take and add a pop-up. Okay, so this is the concept of a pop-up. It's just some additional information that you can have pop up that's part of the screen. So when you think about a mobile device, that you can't put too much stuff on that device. There may be like advanced or details or extra details that you want to do, and you can put that inside of a pop-up instead. Okay, so I'm going to do filter. Name it filter, and I'm just going to put the last name right under there. And then to execute that pop-up, I'm just going to add a button to the command bar, show pop-up filter, and I have some icons here. And you can change, oopsies. I should shut link off. Hold on. That's funny. Sorry. Sorry, Xiaoying. I'll get back to you later. All right, filter. I'm glad she didn't say anything weird. Okay. She would have been on camera, immortalized in there. Okay, so now we have the filter button down here, and when I hit it, it just shows up down here, and now I could say, like, who do we have? Smith. Oops, Smith would be good. SMIT. How about it? It was contained, right? There's Smith, okay? And if we were on a phone, it would be like here, and then you just kind of tap out of it to get rid of it, okay? All right, so that's a pop-up. But there's also this concept of dialogues as well. So I want to now edit this appointment, and I'm going to need to put a lot of stuff on the screen, and I want Lightswitch to automatically handle like the update have that happen magically. Well, not magically, it's doing it over OData. So let's see what a dialogue looks like. So what I want to do is we get back over to our view. Oh, let's look at our view appointment. And I want to add in the command bar here, I want to say, hey, I want to edit this thing. So notice that because I have in my view model, that's the left-hand side of the screen, in my view model I have appointment, photos, and rooms, and it's letting me do standard actions against all of these things. Okay, so you can see the navigation is there as well as your view model. So I want to do a edit of the appointment. Okay, and I'm going to need a new screen. It knows I need a new screen for that. And we're going to just, let's just go ahead and edit the details. Okay, and again, I don't want, as the field worker here, I don't want them, they can make changes to say the address, it's fine, but I don't want them to make changes to themselves, like they're already on site. And the customer, don't want them to mess around changing the customer around, or the move type actually. And if they're on site, they probably are already doing this, they're already there, so the start and end date shouldn't change. But that's some of these things we do want them, allow them to do. For instance, the notes, the text area, and let's go ahead and add the customer's email and phone again. So just in case we mess that up at the office. Okay, cool. All right, so let's go ahead and run that and see what we get. All right, now I've been hitting F5 a lot. I actually really don't need to do that. I can make changes to the screen and just refresh. Okay, so I've got the view. Here's the edit. I should have put the little edit icon, but you get the idea. And now here's the dialogue. You notice the dialogue now is, okay, it's like kind of a modal, right? It's going, okay, what do you want? You want to change this? But if we're on a smaller form factor, that screen just becomes the whole view. Okay, so that's where you get the difference here. Okay, so we could say, let's do like 90% complete and don't be late, that kind of thing. Okay, so there we go. We've got that changed, 90% complete. All right, so if we always want to force that dialogue to be wide, we have a lot of fields, what we could do is we can just go up here, there's the edit, add edit appointment. In the properties, you'll see that by default it shows dialog, but we can go ahead and uncheck that. So now when we go and edit the appointment, it's the whole screen now. Okay, so you have some flexibility on how you want that stuff to work. All right, well, we have a working application. This is like the first step. We've defined our data sources. I kind of skipped that part of it, but we had our data defined and we've created a basic screens, right? We've created the basic, functionality of the app, but there's always going to be something, we want to change, like a little bit of, we want to do a little bit of custom development here. So for instance, the first thing I want to do is the tile list is good, but it's not great. I would like to be able to show the start date and time. I want to format that, and I want to show the customer's first and last name probably would be better. So what we can do is there's a couple ways that we can start to customize our client. First thing we can do is, in this case, I'm going to take the rows layout here. I'm going to make this I'm going to take the rows layout here, and I'm going to drop down the right code, and there you'll notice that there's this thing called post render. Okay, so post render is really good for stuff that, for instance, you've already rendered the DOM element and the content item in the DOM, but I want to add some additional JavaScript code to do something else, like data bind something or that kind of. The other thing we could do though is change this to a custom control. And you'll notice now there's a render. Now render says, okay, it's up to you to render the entire element yourself, exactly how you want. Now I'm not rendering the list itself, I'm rendering the template, the row template inside, right? So I want to change that. So let's go ahead and change that. And I don't want to type too much, so I'm going to just grab my little snippets here. And the first one, okay, I will walk you through. What we're getting past here is the element, that's the DOM element, where are you in the tree, and the content item. The content item maps to the center of the screen. That's a content tree, we call it, and the content item is that that field, okay? It's a set, it's a control, it's the value, it's the information, the metadata around the item itself, the data itself. What I'm doing in this case is I'm defining, I'm using just jQuery to define a div tag and a bunch, a template, a title, and a subtitle. So I'm basically putting this, I'm formatting the start date and end date, and then I'm throwing their customer name and last name, just so it looks a little bit better. And then I'm just going ahead and appending that to the DOM element. Okay, so I'm taking over the rendering. Now, what I'm doing, though, is I'm using a JavaScript library, right? It's just this JavaScript library called Moment. I think there's about a zillion JavaScript libraries that format dates and times and things like that. So what I'm going to do is I've been working in logical view the whole time, but I'm going to flip over to file view. And now you probably are more familiar, if you're using Visual Studio, you're more familiar probably with this look and feel. If these are just your projects, you know, this is your solution. So we're going to go into the HTML client project, okay, and I'm going to manage my NuGet packages, and I'm going to just stable only, and we're going to go moment, here it is, install, okay? Let's get that NuGet package. Okay, and now we need to make a reference to it, okay, so it's just added it here, there's moment. Okay, and now I just need to add a reference to it down in here. Script. Pick this one. Moment. There we go. All right. Okay, so if all goes well, we can hit F5, and we should see that template look different. And we're just using one of those many JavaScript libraries you can get out the web. Okay, so there you go. We've got this formatted better. All right? Cool? So the whole entire JavaScript ecosystem is available to you. And this is how you can pull in controls, custom controls, and add them into Lightswitch. So let's do, I heard a little clap somewhere. I don't know what that was. Woo, yeah. All right. Okay, so let's do something with the post render. Okay, for instance, when I show this information, I would like to, instead of say view appointment, have a static title. I want to dynamically bind that to the customer's first name, last name, and the appointment's date, time, okay? Just so it looks a little bit better on the screen. It's a little more information too for the user. Okay, so let's go back over to our designer here. And I'm gonna go open the view appointment here. And we're going to take and hit this details tab right here. And what we're going to do is edit the post render now. Okay, so we're not changing what the control is at all, but I'm going to do some extra stuff. Okay, so I want to add some script. The content item has a function here called data bind. And what I'm doing is I'm saying, what's the binding path, basically, the path to the first name and last name. Anytime that those things change, run this format appointment screen title. And that format appointment screen title is also using moment, but it's just saying, you know, the content item screen details display name. Okay, that's the title. All right, so let's see what this one looks like. Okay, so now it says Ben Smith, 8 to 10 a.m. Now, did I add first name and last name here? No, I didn't, but that's okay. All right, so if we make a change to our edit appointment, just so we can add, I'll show you how this works. We're going to go add another screen data, and just to show you, last name, the binding is two-way. Okay, so there's Ben Smith. I will make him, you know, Smithy, like that. I also mention that, by the way, because even though these are phone and email business types, you know, if I don't type like a valid phone number, I get all this validation for free. Okay, same thing with an email. These types of things are free. Okay, so let's just do Ben at, you know, me.com. That's okay, right? 555, you know, 1212. That's okay. All right, so there's Smith E now. And there we go, there's the title update. Okay, so there's a lot of things that LightSwitch does, but there's a lot of hooks that you have to customize things, okay? One of the typical things you're gonna do with the post render is, you know, make some UI logic happen, right? So for instance, if something's like, let's do a little UI magic, let's just format this in a different color, the percentage. If it's over 90%, 90% or higher, we'll make it green. If it's lower, we'll make it red. Those sorts of things for UI logic, because that's very common in business apps, right? So if we go back to our view appointment screen this time, we'll do the same thing with the percent complete. Let's go into the post render. In this case, what I'm going to do, though, is I'm going to modify. Now, I could modify the style, okay? But instead, what I want to do is add a class, a CSS class, okay? So it's a standard CSS behind the scenes here. So I'm just saying if the content item value is like greater than, you know, 90%, greater than 90%, I'll see, you know, that's fine. So the CSS is pretty powerful here. There's a lot of, like, there's the jQuery mobile and all that CSS is in here, but we also give you some theming, okay? We also have, you know, are defining the icons and that the titles, all that, all the sizes of the text and everything. But we also give you this user customization CSS, and it allows you to basically format some of the default stuff that you see in the property sheet, okay? The whole entire style that, you know, of the text. But what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pop in a couple of these additional styles, green and red, percent high, percent low. Okay, so that's just a user customization that you can throw in there, extra CSS. So now when we run this, okay, it's at 90%, right? I had greater than 90%, so I think somebody is like at 64%, but you get the idea, it's all red, okay? All right? So that's kind of how you would use the post render, I think, is a little bit more common to change that stuff. Okay? All right. I'm going to move to a little bit more, a little deeper. We're going to go and do a little bit more custom controls. Okay? So I've been formatting controls, and we've been sticking little things in the DOM, but what we really want to do is do some, you know, maybe like a cool gauge. Now we have that percentage, and it would be really cool to show it maybe as a gauge instead. Okay? So how do we do that? Okay, so it's very common to implement custom controls, and it's very easy to do this. Actually, we'll go back over here to NuGet. It's very easy to do this by taking advantage of what's already available to you with JavaScript. So I'm going to search for Widgmo. This is Widgmo. Widgmo is by component one. It's a set of controls by component one. And we need the complete. This has a nice gauge in here somewhere. I think there's a gauge. Believe me, there's a gauge in here. I practiced this demo once. Okay, so this is adding a bunch of controls. This is a bunch of CSS, and there's a lot of images. They have a really nice set of stuff here. Okay, so there we go. We'll close that off. Now what I need to do is I need to reference this stuff, so let's do this. Okay, I need to put up some CSS up here. Okay, after mine, there's some Widgmo stuff. Oh, there we go. And then there's also some scripts that we need. Stick them in here. All right. So now that we got the references, now we can go back over to our screen. And I'm going to do this on the view appointment screen. And so instead of the percent complete there, I'm going to change this to a custom control. And now we're going to just take over the render again. And now you've got to read up on how the controls work, okay, depending on what, you know, what you just downloaded. You have to read the manual. RTFM, you always hear that one, right? So I did that already. I RTFM. And I wrote this code, and all I'm doing here, what we need to do is we need to specify an element that just has the ID of gauge, and then now we can just say, create this linear gauge, okay, and I'm just specifying some parameters. And I'm passing the value of the content item, in, so that's the percentage, all right? So, if all goes well, and component one is happy, I will be happy. Okay, there it is. Woo! All right, we are happy. All right, so, hey, I got, thank you. Thank you, Component One. So actually, Component One has been a great partner for us. They have a ton of controls available for desktop client, Silverlight client. They have a ton of Silverlight controls, but they're actually working on a set of HTML client controls as well, okay, which is pretty cool. I will show those at the end. Right now, I want to finish off the app before we go into publishing it. Right now, the one thing I want to do is I want to allow the guys in the field to be able to take pictures and put them into the system, take pictures. I moved about a year ago, and I moved from a really large house to a small condo, and I was kind of in between houses for a while because the housing market, I live in California, housing market not so good, at least last year, and so I had to put all my stuff in this pod. You know what the pods, they drop them off in your driveway and then you stuff them full of stuff. And they guaranteed me this thing was gonna be big enough, but you know, at the end of the day, the guys started having to take all these pictures and take everything apart in my house, everything. And I was like, oh God, please do not lose your phone, right? Because I'm gonna have to call you back. Now you got me, because I gotta call you back to unpack. So at any rate, what we're going to do is probably take a bunch of pictures while we're on site. So I've been doing NuGet and getting NuGet packages, but obviously you can write your own JavaScript libraries. Okay, so I'm going to just kind of incorporate a couple that I've already written myself. Actually, I didn't write them, but I'm using them. But I understand them. How's that? Okay, someone on the team wrote them. All right, so I'm just going to stick them into the scripts. Actually, we can just drag and drop in there now. Okay, I've got a couple scripts here. All right, one image uploader. Here we go. It's just using the standard file reading HTML5. Okay, it's trying for that standard method first, and if the browser doesn't support that, it's falling back to this. Okay, all right. So that's just an extra round trip to get it, but most of the modern browsers will support this file reading. Okay, so. Now that I've got that, I need to go in here again, and we need to, let's just add the reference again. I'm just going to do it easy way. Okay, oop, uploader. That's the French version. There we go. All right. Okay, so now we got that. Now I need to make the customization. So let's go back over to our screen. And on the view appointment screen, we have these photos. Okay, so I'm going to change this to a tile list so that we can see the picture and caption. Then I'm going to say, okay, you know what? I want to be able to add new photos. So we're going to go, now you'll see there's our view model. So we want the photos. We want to add and edit new photo. I'm going to need a new screen for that. Okay, so the photo details. Now, I don't need the appointment, it's already related. This would be a picker, but since we're coming from the appointment screen, I don't need to display that. It's already going to be filled out. The picture, though, is just being displayed. I want to change this to my custom control because I want to be able to upload a photo. So we're going to go into the render method here, and then I've got one liner of code. Okay, and that's just passing the element and the content item and the size that I want. Okay, so let's go ahead and see if this works. Okay, so when we go into our photos, we don't have any, we need to add one. Okay, so there's our custom control. It's beautiful, I know, but it works. Okay, so. If I could type, that would be good. All right, no laughs out of that. Really, I was in Holland and the Dutch laughed at that. Okay, all right, whatever. They have weirder houses. Whatever. You guys are tired. You're falling asleep already. Come on. All right. So there you go. So we just did an image uploader. All right. So now I'm gonna do it a little later. We can play with this. It'll actually go into the camera. You can take a camera. It'll automatically do a shot right into the screen. So it's a little bit cooler when you have that. All right, so let's go ahead and start talking. Oh, let's talk a little bit about theming, because I know it's a little, the app is still not really branded very well, and it's kind of like the default, generic theme. I mentioned we started like looking at some of CSS. I mentioned there's the user customizations, but there's also a couple themes that you can use. By default, we have the light theme. Okay, but there's also comes with a dark theme. Okay, so all we need to do is just change this to dark, you know, and we can take advantage of the dark theme. Okay, so F5. And that just kind of flips everything from white to black and, you know, has white text instead of black text and that sort of thing. Okay, so that's the dark. But I say you want to do like something completely different. Let's also customize the images on the screen. So you'll see there's some images in here for the user logo and splash screen. So I can just go ahead and just override those with my really cool, and I actually did do these images. They are cool, aren't they? Yeah, there we go. All right. And let's just see what that looks like too, actually. So the splash screen is this one. It really should be a lighter, you know, I really meant it more for a lighter theme. So let's change this back to light, but I also don't like the blue and I want to change it around. The easiest thing to do, honestly, let's go back to light. You don't do this light with dark because then your icons will, you'll never see them. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the light theme right here. I'm going to copy the whole thing, okay? And then we're going to go out to the world of jQuery, jQuery mobile/theme roller, okay? If you've never seen this before, it's awesome, okay? So just going to go and import, okay, so this theme, import. And now you'll see that my swatch matches the theme that we've been seeing all day, right? Now I'm just going to go in and say, okay, well, you know, I mean, you're probably going to want a licensed designer to do this for you, but not me. But I'll make it green, okay? I'll just do something like that, all right? So you can go ahead and you can mess around with everything you need here, all this stuff. So now when we're done, we're beautiful, I'm going to go ahead and download it. And I'm just going to call it green theme. Let's download it, save it. Okay, let's open it, and there it is right there. Extract it. All right, there we go. Okay, you notice I've been taking like not the non-minimized versions of things, and the reason why I'm doing that is because LightSwitch handles minimizing everything, you know, when you F5. Okay, so I'm just going to copy, and now I'm going to put this in our content folder. Okay, and now we just need to go use it. Okay, so I'm just going to, instead of saying the light theme, I'll say the green theme. Okay, and now F5. Now we'll have our new theme. Okay, there it is. There's green, awesome, and when I click on that, it's kind of green, because kind of green. It's got green links, it's kind of pukey green, but hey, it's good. Okay, so that's kind of like that's the experience of building a business app. I mean, we did it in almost an hour, okay? And, you know, there's hooks for customizing where you need it, but you don't need to do, like, a whole, you know, big learning curve to get started building these spa apps for business apps, okay? So let's deploy this now. Where are we going to put it? How about Azure? Okay, so that sounds like a great idea. Okay. Let's put it here, websites. I'm now in my Azure portal. I already got the Julia Childs version ready to go if this doesn't work. But okay, so I'm going to create a new website. Okay, I'm going to website custom create. The reason why I custom create is because you need a database behind this. Okay, so let's get a tech ed Contoso. Oh my God, no one used that? Wow. Probably Contoso Tech Ed. Okay. Now, we are in the north central region, but because my database instance is in the west, I'm just going to put the database and the website together, okay? That's more important. So I'm going to need a database. We'll create a SQL database. Okay, and now I have a server already set up here. I just remember the password. Okay. Okay, so there's creating our website. It should only take a couple minutes here, and our database. Actually, it will take less than that. It should take like a few seconds. the websites are great for deploying Lightswitch Ops too. All right, so now that we have the website, we also have a database here. Let's get rid of that. Here it is right here. Now, the key is before you start publishing from Visual Studio, you're going to need to add a firewall rule when you start publishing to SQL Azure. Okay, you're going to need to add a firewall rule. Since I'm on a new, you know, I don't know what my IP address is here, we're going to just need to add a firewall rule. And the easiest way to do that is go into there and just hit Manage. And then it'll say, hey, I don't recognize you. Yes, that's exactly what I wanted you to do. I wanted you to add this firewall rule for this IP address. Okay, do you really want to manage a database? I love how it asked me that because I said, no, I didn't really want to manage a database. I just wanted you to do that. Okay? All right. So now that we've added, and sometimes it takes maybe like a minute or so for it to kind of work. Okay? So, you know, I could hand wave and talk for a bit, but I'm feeling lucky and risky, so I think we should just go and publish this thing. So I'm going to go in, right click. Oh, we're going to first switch to release. Okay? And then we're going to right click and go to publish. And now it will ask me, do you want to publish the complete application or just the service? So in Visual Studio 2012, in Lightswitch version 2, we gave you the ability to just publish the OData services if you want. You don't have to actually use the client. So Lightswitch is very flexible on where you want you use it in your entire stack. You can use it as the data source in the middle tier. You can use it as just the clients. You can create clients against current data sources or current services that you already have. So you can choose how you want to build, okay, what you want to build. I'm going to deploy the complete app. We're going to host it in Windows Azure. Now I just need to choose my publish settings. If you just download your credentials here if you don't have them yet. And now it's going to access my subscription. I want to get a website. Like you could also use a cloud service. I'm going to just do the website. Okay, so now it's reading my websites. And we should see the one we just created. All goes well in the world of Azure and internet. And it should work any second now. Any moment now. Yes, there we go. Whew. Okay, there it is. TechEd Contoso right there. Okay. Now it's asking me to create a user. Now, I've already set this up as using forms authentication, and this Lightswitch has had like authentication and authorization built in since day one. So I just decided there's on the properties of the app, I've checked to use forms authentication. So it's asking me, hey, we're going to deploy a database. You're probably going to want someone in there first. Okay, this is the system administrator that will set up the rest of the users and roles. Okay, so we will add test user, and oops, that wasn't right there. Okay. The other thing on these tabs is, you know, the security settings. What do you want to use HTTPS or not? I would highly suggest, by best practice, to always use HTTPS for business applications because you're potentially sending, you know, private information down the wire. For my app, it might not really matter because it's, you know, but it's customers, you know, information. So I'm going to say yes. Go ahead and do that. Digital signatures only necessary for the desktop client. If you want to be able to do automatic updates of the desktop client, so we're not going to worry about that right now. All right. Now the data connections, you'll see that it already pulled in the database, the related database when I created it. The only thing is, if I do this deploy right now, the database will be completely empty and that doesn't make a great demo. So I'm going to just not publish it to schema. I already have a database already sitting in Azure that maps the same schema. So I'm just going to change this initial catalog to Contoso move underscore DB. All right. Okay, so otherwise it would publish the schema and that kind of stuff. All right, so it also goes a little bit faster if we don't. Okay, so does it look right? Forms authentication, don't publish the database, Windows Azure, yes, okay, publish. All right, so here it goes. Not signing the zap file. It actually doesn't take super long at all. Okay, that's it. Wow, that was actually really fast. Okay, all right, so I'm going to turn this on while that's loading up. So that's opening up the portal. Okay, let me log in over here. Get that ready to go. Okay. All right, so I should be able to hit this now. So if we go into our TechEd Contoso, and we look, here's the site URL. Okay, now it's going to come up with nothing right now. Okay, there are two clients. There are two clients that are published, and they're in two separate folders. There's client. Remember, that was our desktop client. Okay, that's the Silverlight client. And then there's HTML client. So we're going to have both. And then we have our data services as well, okay, coming out. So it's going to load, it's loading up. Let me just log in here. It's the same user. Okay. If I can remember the password. Okay. All right, so this was the desktop app. So now the users in the office can use it. Now, it sets a cookie when we log in. So actually, I could go over to the... let me go over here. Whoop. All right, I could go over here. And now we go to the HTML client. Okay, and this is what we've been building. Yep, and that's green. Okay, and I know it's me. So it saved the cookie, so it didn't ask me for the login again. Okay, and there's, you know, there's our gauge, you know, everything working cool. It's different data. Okay, the database is different, so it's different data. But that's actually the UI that we built. So yeah, because I forgot to put the edit. Put the star. Okay, so now I'm going to flip over to this guy. Cool. And I've got, let's see, I've got two running. I've got, that one is the one we just built. This one was Contoso Move, is a different one. So let me change the URL here. Oop. If come on. Oh, now it's hopefully connected to the internet still. That would be good. That will, it helps to be connected to the internet. TechEd Contoso. Okay, there it is. Okay, so username, so I should use my finger here. Okay, and remember me next time and log in and this is on the Wi-Fi, so this is going to be a little bit slower than this machine that's plugged in. But there we go. Okay, there it is. There's our gauge working. Okay, so do I want to remember the password? No. Yes, sure, why not? Okay, edit the appointment. Okay, so it's full screen, you know, notes. I can type in the notes, cool, you know, or you can use the on-screen keyboard, whatever we want. Let's save. Okay, so this thing kind of looks cool. The other thing that we also can do is do like dashboards and that kind of stuff. And I'm not really going to like talk too much about it, but or like dive deep into how to build it. But you can use all sorts of custom controls. And I demonstrated that with this particular control. There's another control that I kind of like, was the pie chart control. So if I show you this Contoso moving. I kind of think the home screen, what it's doing is it's kind of breaking down the number of percentage breakdown of percent complete, basically. So let's see. That would be more useful for, say, the owner of the company. So, oh, here we go. Test user. Oops. There we go. Come on, guy. I just got these fingers. I apologize. All right. Okay, so this one is exactly the same that we built, except now you'll see the percentage breakdown here of the users in this, sorry, the users of the, I guess not the users, of what the users entered as their percent complete. So like, looks like most of the stuff is not complete yet. But at any rate, that's just another example of another custom control that you can build your own kind of dashboards for doing this, all right? Okay, so I've got 10 minutes, and by the way, if you want to log in, you can log into either of these right now on your phones. Let's flip back over here. It's a little easier for me to work this machine right now. So if we go Windows Plus, right? So here it is, TechEdContoso, AzureWebsites.net/HTML client. Okay, and then you'll need... Okay, you'll need the password, so I will put that in Notepad real quick. Oh, that's Notepad. Here we go. I'll just stick this at the top for you guys. Okay, and it's test user is the username. That doesn't mean lowercase or uppercase, it doesn't matter for the username. And then it, but this is pass at word one. That's the easiest password to remember. That's easiest strong name pass, easiest strong password to remember in the world. Okay, so you can go ahead and log in. So I should have probably done that on my other machine, but okay, everybody got that? You got it. Any questions? Questions? If you have questions, please go up to the microphone because this is being recorded and I also have bad hearing. So if you don't mind. And while people are lining up, because I'll take compliments too. You can line up for those too. And okay. If you don't have a question, just tell me how awesome I am. I need it. Okay, so that's that. Let me just show you one couple last slides. We'll just kind of a point to make. Just let me move over here real quick. And I'm going to send some resources up your way. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, compliment. Great job on use of the Widgmo controls. My name is Russ Faustino. I'm from Component One. So if we have any questions on the controls, come see me.
Okay. Actually, you know what? Because since Russ is here, I'm going to, and I can show off this thing. I would like to show, you know, we actually have 5 more minutes. And quick thing to show off. I think it would be really cool to just kind of demonstrate what they're building right now. Now, these are still in beta. Dan told me I could show these off. Here's our Contoso moving. It's kind of like reset, okay? I just have the client, the Silverlight client right now on this one. It's kind of like reset. But I'm going to go into properties, and this is where we enable our extensions. I've already installed this extension. Okay, this is in beta. The Component One Studio for LightSwitch HTML, installed the extension. And then we're going to add a screen. And now what we get is a whole bunch of different screen templates. Okay, all right, so I've got this screen. We could do a grid screen. Let's do a paging grid screen, and I'm going to use all employees. And the only other thing I need to do is, I think maybe I should have done this first, but the only other thing I need to do is you need to grab the NuGet package. I forgot about that, but it's in pre-release right now. JMO. And these controls are meant more for desktop style controls, really. It's going to be like a traditional grid, really. Okay, so like out of the box, we come with tile lists, and the LightSwitch team focused more on mobile applications. But this not to say you can't build a desktop HTML application. In particular, these controls provide a lot of those more traditional styles of things. So, like grids, for instance. All right, so if all goes well, I just created, instead of the tile list, I created a grid. Okay, and it's a paging grid. So, hopefully I did that right. I don't want to. And if I messed it up, I apologize, but I think this will work fine. And it's a no-coding experience as well, so there it is. Okay, so there's a grid of stuff. Okay, I wouldn't want to look at this on my phone, but see, for this particular form factor, it works great. Okay, so I don't have too many records in here, but there you go. Okay, so it's more of a traditional grid. Okay, so keep in mind that they're in pre-release, but I'm hoping they'll be released soon. Right, Russ? Can we get a date? I feel like people always ask me for a date. And I'm getting like, can I get a date? Very excited. Very excited about it. Come on, Russ. Let's get them. Come on. All right, so I'm going to leave you with a couple resources here. For instance, if Hands-On Labs, if you want to try out the Contoso moving or a variation of that, go into the labs. I got to actually head over there after this, and you can come with me if you want to try it out. There's 2 labs on LightSwitch. Make sure you install the HTML client using Visual Studio 2012 Update 2. Okay, just get Update 2. And finally, if you don't remember any of this stuff on the screen, just remember msdn.com/lightswitch. And if that will get you started, tons of videos. That's where all our team content is and that sort of thing. So, and hit us up on Twitter. The team is really responsive and they're really good with the community. So so I'll take more questions. You have a question, sir?
I've got a couple easy questions, I think. The first one is the Silverlight, the desktop version. I know it's kind of a nice feature right now, but Silverlight, I guess from what we hear, is kind of dead. So are you guys going to keep adding features to that to kind of keep up with the HTML client, or is the HTML client going to morph into the whole thing at some point?
Well, so they're totally different. I mean, I think when we think about it, they're for totally different scenarios. One's for more of a mouse and keyboard scenario, one's more for touch. Okay, so, but all the, and we actually did add, fix some bugs and add some features to the Silverlight side too. Okay, it's not that we just completely throw that away.
So the plan for now is to keep it up.
Yeah,
keep it
it's, up and I mean, it's still supported, right, for 10 years, and, you know, it's still a viable, you know, desktop solution, especially with the web style of deployment. Mm-hmm. If you want, like, you can buy the controls from Component 1 and create HTML5 desktop apps, but the focus of the Light Switch team out of the box in version 3 is for mobile touch-centric. So it makes sense to have a companion application to have them as both. So that's
okay.
Kind of what
the other question, I guess, is reports. If you're wanting to go from an access world to a Light Switch world, one thing that seems like it's missing as far as from a end-user designer or just a non-experienced developer is the reports.
So you're looking at, well, we have a lot of different types of reporting solutions. The one that Microsoft recommends is reporting services. It's also a free version. You probably are talking about client-side reporting, right? So
yeah,
there's a lot of, what does a report mean? There's a lot of things. I mean, office automation can be a report. You know, there's an office integration pack that we have. DevExpress has a client-side, you know, reporting solution for its Silverlight client. When we're talking mobile and HTML, I think your better bet is to go towards reporting services, and that way they're delivered via HTML. So
okay.
That's our solution.
Good to know. Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions? Yeah.
I have a couple of questions for you, Beth. The first thing is, like, would it be possible to add events instead of directly going to jQuery and add events, like we can do it directly from Light Switch?
Would it be possible to add what?
Events.
GUIDs. GUIDs to the...
Not GUIDs, I mean events.
Events. Right. Add your... Yes, there's... Well, yes, you can. And the... Actually, the runtime frame... Or the Light Switch client-tied framework actually also has event listeners and event handlers, and it uses the WinJS promise object to, you know, notify you of when something happens. You can subscribe to all sorts of events on the client side. And you can also do it on the server side as well. We have hooks for everything
there,
too.
My next question is, like, if I need to use, like, third-party jQuery libraries, like, from, for example, Google, how easy it would be to integrate with Light Switch?
So it depends. I did show you a bunch today. Okay, it totally depends on the library. Like I have on my blog, I actually show how to do J signature, and that's a widget that you can get. That's, you know, pretty popular, I think. So it just depends on the control, what the control's level of support is for each of the browsers, and then, you know, it's not a matter of Light Switch per se, because we give you the content item. That's the data. You bind it. It depends on what the widget is, right? So it depends on how you bind it. So all the you have all the data on the client side, the classes, it's really, you know, the definitions of the classes, like appointment and customer and that sort of thing, are actually already on the client side as well. You can get it, all that stuff, and then bind controls exactly how you need. But it does depend on the library and its support. So that's custom control for you.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Great. I hope it did okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
The end result that gets produced in terms of compatibility, you know, devices and browsers and all of them included. I mean, since these are business or enterprise apps, what's the target for that? I mean, are they compatible across the board? It looks so easy. I'm just
for
everything? Or?
It's HTML5, so,
yeah.
You know, whatever devices that support the HTML5 standard, you're going to have better support. Like, iOS is a really good, you know, support for HTML5, and that's a very popular set of devices. So that's really why, you know, the Light Switch team wanted to go after the most breadth of devices out there. And, you know, more and more, you know, more and more coming out with better and better standards, too, support for standards, too. So, I mean, yeah. Like I said, I mentioned the stack. It's some limitations on older versions of Android and Windows 7 5 phone because the browsers just didn't support as much. Yeah.
I have a simple question, hopefully. You mentioned that localization is now supported. A scenario we usually run into is localizing, like, the validation messages. How easy is it to do that?
It's just resource files, and then inside the property sheet, you just use a special syntax in the properties for display names and that kind of stuff. So we have information on our blog and the documentation. It's not too tough.
All right, thank you.
Yeah. Yes?
One question. For the Light Switch, compare some third party like Xamarin and for develop mobile, they can develop on Android and iOS too. What's the difference?
So the difference is this is it's an HTML JavaScript app, and those are native applications. Now, what we could do, actually, is, and Michael Washington is another big community member, a Lightswitch community member, just released a blog post, just in the nick of time, actually, for this question, answer to this question. He used PhoneGap, actually, to create a hybrid app. Okay, so he's creating like a native shell, okay, like he gave an Android as an Android example. So you could take and say, put that into the, you know, app store, and then have your users download it so it looks like a native app, but it really is just surfacing the content, the HTML, it's really just surfacing the browser. Okay, so that's what I call a hybrid app. It's not truly native, it's got a native wrapper around it. So that's what you could do with Lightswitch. The difference with, you know, Xamarin versus Lightswitch is you're writing native applications versus writing an HTML application that could run on a breadth of devices. You would have to write code for every type of native app you wanted to support.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. More questions. Awesome. Yeah.
I need to get to Azure via the cellular network. Can you comment on that?
You need to get to Azure via the cell network?
Yeah, I want to send the data to Azure.
Yeah?
Over the cellular network.
Yeah?
Performance over low bandwidth.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... You mean you're having trouble with that, or?
No, I'm just wondering if you've seen anybody do that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could like that. You could try it out. Yeah, it's working, right? Okay, yeah. So basically, you need to think about the size of your data sets. Mm-hmm. Okay, really, and you're just designing for smaller sets of data if you have very, very, very low bandwidth areas. You need that is another key difference here. I mean, but business apps typically need real-time data, and so you know you have to be connected. You know, it is a browser-based application at the end of the day. Okay, but yes, it works over the cell networks. I use it, do it all the time. Yeah, cell networks are pretty fast these days. You know. Okay, is that it? Oh, yeah.
This presentation, I can go back and I can say, hey, we created an app in 15 minutes, but they're gonna laugh at me and say it doesn't have enough grids and. Crazy other things.
It'll take you an hour and 15 minutes. Then.
is this demo available? Is that going to be available through download or something?
Yeah, actually, you know, I can give it to you now. Or the hands-on lab, you build this app at the end of the day. So right. The hands-on lab is also another place where you can grab it. But it's also on our samples. Like if you go to a developer center, it's right on the samples too. So or hit me up, Beth M.A., or come up for a card. I'll give you a card and I'll email you the link. Yeah.
Other than that, compliments. It was a lot of fun.
All right, guys. I'm gonna close questions off. Come up if you have more. Thank you very, very much.